Harper Audio presents The Red Queen, Sex and the Evolution of Human Nature, by Matt Ridley. Read by Simon Premel. Chapter 1. Human Nature. The most curious part of the thing was that the trees and other things around them never changed their places at all. However fast they went, they never seemed to pass anything. I wonder if all the things move along with us, thought poor, puzzled Alice. And the Queen seemed to guess her thoughts, for she cried, "Faster! Don't try to talk!" Lewis Carroll, Through the Looking Glass. When a surgeon cuts into a body, he knows what he'll find inside. If he's seeking the patient's stomach, for example, he doesn't expect to find it in a different place in every patient. All people have stomachs. All human stomachs are roughly the same shape, and all are found in the same place. There are differences, no doubt. Some people have unhealthy stomachs. Some have small stomachs. Some have slightly misshapen stomachs. But the differences are tiny compared with the similarities. A vet or a butcher could teach the surgeon about a much greater variety of different stomachs. Big, multi-chambered cow stomachs, tiny mouse stomachs, somewhat human-looking pig stomachs. There is, it's safe to say, such a thing as the typical human stomach, and it's different from a non-human stomach. It is the assumption of this book that there is also, in the same way, a typical human nature. It's the aim of this book to seek it. Like the stomach surgeon, a psychiatrist can make all sorts of basic assumptions when a patient lies down on the couch. He can assume that the patient knows what it means to love, to envy, to trust, to think, to speak, to fear, to smile, to bargain, to covet, to dream, to remember, to sing, to quarrel, to lie. Even if the person were from a newly discovered continent, all sorts of assumptions about his or her mind and nature would still be valid. When, in the 1930s, contact was made with New Guinea tribes hitherto cut off from the outside world and ignorant of its existence, they were found to smile and frown as unambiguously as any Westerner, despite 100,000 years of separation since they last shared a common ancestor. The smile of a baboon is a threat. The smile of a man is a sign of pleasure. It is human nature the world over. That is not to deny the fact of culture shock. Sheep's eyeball soup, a shake of the head that means yes, Western privacy, circumcision rituals, afternoon siestas, religions, languages, the difference in smiling frequency between a Russian and an American waiter in a restaurant. There are myriad human particulars as well as human universals. Indeed, there is a whole discipline, cultural anthropology, that devotes itself to the study of human cultural differences. But it's easy to take for granted the bedrock of similarity that underlies the human race, the shared peculiarities of being human. This book is an inquiry into the nature of that human nature. Its theme is that it's impossible to understand human nature without understanding how it evolved. And it is impossible to understand how it evolved without understanding how human sexuality evolved. For the central theme of our evolution has been sexual. Why sex? Surely there are features of human nature other than this one overexposed and troublesome procreative pastime. True enough, but reproduction is the sole goal for which human beings are designed. Everything else is a means to that end. Human beings inherit tendencies to survive, to eat, to think, to speak, and so on. But above all, they inherit a tendency to reproduce. Those of their predecessors that reproduced passed on their characteristics to their offspring. Those that remained barren did not. Therefore, anything that increased the chances of a person reproducing successfully was passed on at the expense of anything else. We can confidently assert that there is nothing in our natures that was not carefully chosen in this way for its ability to contribute to eventual reproductive success. This seems an astonishingly hubristic claim. It seems to deny free will, ignore those who choose chastity and portray human beings as programmed robots bent only on procreation. It seems to imply that Mozart and Shakespeare were motivated only by sex. Yet I know of no other way that human nature can have developed except by evolution, and there is now overwhelming evidence that there is no other way for evolution to work except by competitive reproduction.